make you feel better, but it won't make me feel any more stooped than I do now.
Jack nodded slowly.
Right. Make sure all the spark's out. Then come back to the house and get all cleaned up.
Christy looked toward the distant mountains, already shimmering behind heat haze.
I sure hope Doc didn't see the smoke from up there, wherever he is.
Right. It would worry him a lot, probably spoil his trip. Send him rushing back down here to see what was wrong.
Dean kept himself out of everybody's way for the rest of the morning and the early part of the afternoon. He was furiously angry with himself for having come close to causing a disaster by his own laziness and lack of foresight. If he'd been concentrating on what was happening, he would have felt the breeze and seen the threat to the outbuildings. He went out alone to the edge of the ranch's land, finding a grove of flowering cherries that stood around a muddy waterhole. Dean lay flat on his stomach and flicked pebbles at a group of red ants that were laboring together to dispose of the carcass of a scorpion.
Hurry up home, Dad. Been away long enough. Come on home.
It had never occurred to the boy, for even a splinter of a second, that Ryan wouldn't eventually return safely to rejoin them. He stood and looked back toward the distant house, into the hills beyond. It wasn't quite clear to Dean just why Doc had gone wandering off on this trip on his own. He wasn't much of a marksman, so it obviously wasn't for hunting. There'd been a conversation between Christy and Mildred about it, part of which the boy had overheard. They talked about finding himself, though it seemed to Dean that the old-timer had more chance of losing himself up in the high country. His keen hearing caught a sound behind him, and he turned, his fingers dropping automatically to the butt of his big 9mm Browning. It was the crack of a buggy whip. A couple of miles to the west, moving slowly over the trail between the dunes, was an old-fashioned canvas-topped wag drawn by a pair of horses. It was what Dean knew used to be called a prairie schooner in the old times, even before pre-dark. J.B. had told him that they were properly known as Conestoga wagons, after the ville in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where they were manufactured, and that the early settlers had ridden in them, with all their possessions, from the Mississippi to the ocean. Now one was lurching toward him. Dean took a last careful look, seeing that there were two people sitting up on the box, and making sure there were no other wags or riders, before turning and starting to jog back toward the spread. A sec man left the front entrance and started walking toward Ryan and Trader, holding up a hand.
What's your business with Baron Torrance?
We heard that Baron Torrance is a good man to help someone with troubles.
I wouldn't have said that. We hardly ever see any outlanders, in trouble or not. Fact is, I wouldn't mention being in trouble to the Baron. Best just kind of be passing by.
Ryan put his hand on Trader's shoulder before the sec man came fully up to them.
They're not used to outlanders. This place looks like a total shithouse, yet they have a Baron. I don't like it. A
lot of men and women have ideas above their reality, Ryan. All we got that they might want is our blasters. It'll take some spilled blood to get at those.
Plenty of Barons could chill you for less. Remember that fat son of a bitch up near...
Ryan was interrupted as the sec man finally came face to face with him. He was holding his hand over the butt of a holstered handgun. It was difficult to see, but it looked like a rebuilt .32 caliber of unguessable manufacture.
My men saw you coming from a mile away from the tower window.
The man pointed to the four-story turret at one end of the building. It was leaning sideways at so sharp an angle that you wouldn't have placed any jack on it being there in 6 months' time. Or 6 days.
They thought you looked safe enough, but I need to check you out before you travel through Baron Torrance's land.
Trader shook his head sorrowfully.
We come from Seattle. Got caught in the big quake, lost all our goods, horses, and a couple of friends.
Ryan had learned the lesson early from the older man that the best lies were those that stayed close to the truth. Just nudged it a step sideways.
What'd you trade in?
We deal in lead, friend.
The sec man's hand twitched and dropped onto the butt of his gun.
How's that?
Ammo. Made and traded in ammo. Most common calibers. Lost the lot.
Shame. Baron Torrance could have been interested in doing some dealing. Still, if you're legit, I suppose he'd like to see you. Few Outlanders get this close to the canyon.
Ryan gestured toward the tumbled wing of Hightower.
Looks like your Ville's getting closer to the canyon all the time. Last night's quake do any damage?
Some. A few more rooms went in. Health Club annex dropped over. How'd you get down the river?
Pure luck. Managed to catch a fallen tree that took us through the rapids.
Why didn't you take the old bridge? 3 or 4 miles upstream. Easier way to the top.
Ryan and Trader looked at each other.
A bridge? We didn't see that. Then again, we were kind of busy, hanging on.
The man nodded.
Now best get in. Baron Torrance can be a tad antsy if you keep him waiting. You two got any names?
I'm Danny King, and this is my father, Willard.
Trader controlled himself with visible effort.
Father? That's Danny's little joke. He's my younger brother. You got a name, mister?
Yeah, I'm Arkadin. Sort of run the sex side of things here at Hightower.
A minor tremor rippled the earth, making them all sway a little. They turned to look at the tottering tower. A single pane of glass shattered, but there was no further damage.
Blasted aftershocks! Trying to finish off what the big quakes start.
Looks like it won't take much to topple the rest of the wreckage into the canyon.
One day, definitely. Hopefully, I'll be gone from here by then.
You're not happy here?
This place is not like other Villes. See that for yourself. Like a clock that's nearly run down. 20 years ago, Hightower was a place that counted. Baron Torrance lost his wife when his second daughter was born. Kind of old, his wife, by then. The Baron also lost interest in the Ville at the same time. Only hope now is that his little girls will get married and carry on the Ville. Sort of restore it to the former glory. Know what I mean?
Trader nodded.
Way this place is sliding into oblivion. I guess you're not eager for that responsibility.
You could say that, but you couldn't possibly expect me to comment on it in front of the Baron.
They went inside the lobby of the Predark Hotel. It had a faded grandeur that both Ryan and Trader had seen in other similar buildings. There had been one set by a beautiful lake among the glaciers of Montana, another overlooking a winding pass in Colorado. This one had to have been up there with the very finest. But not now. Arkadin led them in, stepping over the corpse of a dog that lay across the front step, flies gathering around the sockets of its opaque eyes. Apart from the stench of the dead animal, Ryan wrinkled his nostrils at the stink of decay, sweat, urine, wet clothes, and rotting food. The lobby was in semi-darkness, its furniture tawdry and filthy. The floor was so dirty that the soles of their combat boots stuck to it as they walked after the sec man. Trader stopped to peel a sheet of greasy paper from his foot.
Christ on the cross. I never saw a place so triple unclean and unsanitary. Your Baron ever think about getting some people with brooms and pails of water?
Arkadin spun, finger to his lips.
Quiet, Willard. Baron Torrance can be friendly. Certainly used to be that way, but lately he... It's better not to say anything kind of critical of the place. Much better.
Sure, I get the picture.
Just follow me. Best keep both your eyes open and...
Arkadin was suddenly aware of Ryan's condition.
Sorry, Danny. Kind of forgot you lost an eye.
Maybe if we keep all three of our eyes open.
A log fire smoldered in the hearth, the damp wood spitting. A boy of about 10 was sitting by it, poking at a large spider with a long meat skewer, trying to pin down one leg at a time. He didn't look up as the sec man led the two outlanders past him.
Bastard kitchen-bred brat. Got all his father's gentle charm and all his half-sister's kindly ways with living creatures.
Where's the Baron?
Probably on the top floor. Named it the games room up there. Likely with the little girls, too.
Why do you call them that, the little girls? Is that some sort of joke?
No, not a joke, Willard. One thing that the Torrance ladies aren't is a joke. Quickest way to reach the fucking river in 12 seconds flat is to laugh at them. Remember that, both of you.
You fetched them, Arkadin.
Ryan glanced at Trader.
Maybe we shouldn't...
Yeah, but it's too late now.
Jack had watched the approaching strangers through a pair of binoculars.
They look ill. Man and a woman.
The companion